Praise the Lord. Well, let's get started. Will you put 25 minutes? Good. 25 minutes. I'm going to look at your hand down. I'm going to read some scripture. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be all right. The first two questions is blank, basically. What is leadership? And how can leadership positively impact the organization's performance? See that? See those questions right there? John Maxwell, in all of his books, say that leadership is influence. Say influence. So write down number one under leadership, define right influence. That's what you do as a leader. You influence others. A biblical definition of leadership is service. So write number two, service. That definition comes from Jesus' teaching, and I'm going to read from the Kingdom New Testament, a contemporary translation, so you don't really have to turn to it. In Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45, the disciples were arguing about who would be the greatest. And then Jesus pulled them all aside, and here's what he said. This is in a contemporary translation. Jesus called them to him. You know how it is in the pagan nations, a tradition of King James, I said Gentile nations. He said, think how their so-called rulers act. They lord it over their subjects. The high and mighty ones boss the rest around. But that's not how it's going to be with you. He said, in the world, it's fine. I'm good. We'll do it a little bit later. We'll do it later. He says that in the world, they boss folk around. But that's not how we're going to lead in the kingdom. He said, but that's not how it's going to be with you. Anyone who wants to be great among you must become your servant. Anyone who wants to be first must be everyone's slave. Don't you see, the Son of Man didn't come to be waited on. He came to be the servant and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus' definition of leadership is that leadership is not just telling folk what to do. Leadership is service. Say that. So we have two words that we are defined leadership with, that we'll work with. It is what? Number one? It is influence. And what else? It is service. Now, here's the second question. How can leadership positively impact the organization's performance? Now, so that what we teach will be broader than just working at the church or serving at the church, think about leadership in your home. Think about leadership on your job, if you're a leader on your job. Think about leadership in your business, if you have your own business. So when we talk about how leadership positively impacts the organization, don't just think Faith Chapel. Think about your work environment. Think about your business environment. Think about your home. Because if you are a mom and a dad, husband and a wife, you're a leader in that home. So how can leadership positively impact the organization's performance? Here's my answer. It's not in your notes, so you may want to write some of this down. The answer is by an awareness and mastery of three domains of leadership. By an awareness and mastery of three domains of leadership. So when I talk about a domain of leadership, I'm talking about the playing field. All good coaches have a revelation of the playing field. In football, you got that 100-yard playing field. In basketball, you got that court, that you play on. In baseball, you got the baseball diamond. So as a leader, there's a playing field that you need to be aware of, and there's a playing field that you need to concentrate on, and that's three areas, three playing fields, or three areas, that's credibility, competence, and consequences. Say it after me, credibility, competence, and consequences. I'll start with C, so you easily remember that. When we talk about credibility, credibility is a matter of character and earns the right to lead. That's the playing field that you're working on, the playing field of credibility, and credibility is a matter of character. It earns you the right to lead. In other words, it's your leadership equity. It's what causes people to trust you. Now, a leadership title can be delegated, but credibility and trust has to be earned. If people don't, I'm talking about followers now, the people under you don't trust you, then you're going to have problems leading them. Credibility. Come on, say credibility. You got to be concerned about that. I said, that's the playing field you're playing on. You got to be concerned about your character. Competence is a matter of skill, and it earns you respect. It's a matter of skill, and it earns you respect. And that's what I want to do in these quarterly meetings and in all the other things that we set up in terms of leadership training is to help you develop. See, I can't help you with your character. There's some commitments you have to make in terms of character, but we can help you to develop your skills. Competence has to do with your skill. It earns you respect. If you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know what you're doing, the area that you're over, you don't know what you're doing, then people are not going to respect you. Does that make sense? The third playing field is consequence. Consequence defined is something that follows an action. What follows your leadership action? What follows your leadership action? So consequence is a matter of results, value, and impact. Say that. Results, value, and impact. So consequence has to do with results. In your area, whatever area you're over or you're leading, you have to produce some results. Leaders have to get some things done. It's a matter of value. By value, I mean what contribution are you making to the organization? Your area, or is your area making a contribution to the performance of the organization? Value. And then when I talk about impact, I'm talking about the impact you as a leader have on the careers and the lives of the people who follow you. The impact you have on the careers and the lives. See, the people who are employed in Faith Chapel, I'm having an impact on their careers. Now, you may not necessarily be impacting somebody's career, but if you're a leader and if there's anyone following you, you're having an impact on their lives. So leadership is serious business. Say that. So why is leadership, now I'm going down the handout. Why is leadership important? Remember some of this, I'm just going to peruse other things I'll talk about a little bit more. Why is leadership important? Leaders are critical. Say that.
Leaders are critical.
There are several key reasons why leadership is important. Excellent leaders, number one, provide direction and focus at an individual and team level. We provide direction. We provide focus. If we don't provide focus and direction, then the followers will end up wasting their energies, going all over the place. The scripture said, where there's no vision, people perish or they run wild. Leaders ensure, and this is a very important one, ensure the climate in which people work is positive. Now, I'm gonna come back to that one. They ensure the climate in which people work is positive. Number three, leaders ensure that the right resources are available and applied to the most appropriate activities. Depending on what level of leadership you're in and operate in, you may not control how many resources you have or how much resources you have. And oftentimes, as leaders, we don't always have the resources we need. You're going to always face situations where you probably need resources that you don't have. That's when leadership comes to bear. As a leader, when we don't have all the resources, our attitude is important, because people under us is going to have our attitude about the situation. If we don't have all the resources that we need, if we complaining, they're not giving me nothing, the followers hear you say that, then you're leading or influencing them in the wrong direction. So your attitude is very important when you don't have all the resources. And everybody, I wish I had $30 million right now. $30 million would help me. $30 million. I would shout, I would dance all over this place. So all of us have times when we don't have all the resources. That's where we have to maximize the resources that we have, and we have to be creative. We have to be creative. But attitude is very important for a leader when you don't have. The followers shouldn't know what you're feeling. They shouldn't know what. You may be just as frustrated as you want to be. But take your frustrations up. Don't take your frustrations down. Leaders inspire people so that they remain motivated and committed. Number five, leaders recognize and develop people. That's a big one. They recognize and develop people. We got to get these people off the bench. We got a lot of folk on the bench in our church. And it's your job to get some of these folk off the bench, not just folks sending folk to you. You gotta get you some folk and get some folk off the bench and get the folk to working. You got influence. You can do that. You got influence. You can get some folk off of their bench. And then leaders ensure decisions are made effectively so things happen. Now I want to go back up to climate, because I think ensuring the climate in which people work is very important. And then often what we do is we shift or don't accept responsibility for climate. Okay? Now, when I talk about climate, here's what I'm talking about. How it feels to work around here. Climate. That's a part of your responsibility, is to create a climate. Now, there's some keys to creating a positive climate in your work environment. One of the keys is role clarity. It's the leader's responsibility to make sure that everyone under you know what their role is. That's your responsibility. Let every person that's following you, working for you, to know what their role is. Another thing that can enhance climate is empowerment. When people feel under you that they've been empowered and that you trust them, it helps to create a positive climate. Another thing that's very important is, as a leader, recognizing people's contribution. When people contribute something worthwhile, don't take credit for it. Recognize, and it's great to do that public, recognize their contribution. Another thing is developing people, training people, and supporting people. The communication flow, whether it's open or closed, creates climate. Now, in your own sanctified mind, I want you to see what I'm talking about here. You have leader here. Come on, say leader here. And when I talk about leader here, I'm talking about leadership behavior, how you behave as a leader, how you act, how you think, how you make decisions. Leadership behavior is right here. And then under leadership behavior, you have climate. It's the environment that people work under. It's important that you create an environment for people to enjoy working in that area. That's the climate. Now, under the climate is motivation, individual motivation. Under individual motivation, you have organizational performance. So what you have is leadership behavior, how you behave and how you act as a leader. You have a climate that you have to create so that people enjoy working in that area. That impacts motivation, individual motivation. Now, I know there's some other things that motivate. There should be some self-internal things that motivate us. But sometimes the reason that people are not motivated, a lot of times we say, well, they don't want to come. They don't want to work. They won't do this. So what we do, we shift the blame of their motivation on them. They have a responsibility, but sometimes people are not motivated at this level because we hadn't created a climate at this level, and then it impacts performance. Does that make sense to anybody? I want to say that again. Leadership behavior, and then at this level is climate, the environment, how it is to work in this, and I'm saying that your responsibility for creating a positive climate, that impacts individual motivation. When people are motivated, it impacts organizational performance. Does that make sense to anybody? Does that make sense to anybody? Okay. Now, look at B. The people working for an excellent leader can experience numerous positive benefits. The people will. When you have an excellent leader, this is how it impacts the followers. They will understand their role and how the work they do contribute to the overall goals. They will feel a sense of worth about their role. They have been encouraged to take their own personal development seriously. Be confident they can ask questions. They can ask questions under you. They can make suggestions. They can provide feedback. They know they will be listened to. They feel they can take calculated, manage appropriate risks, and feel they will be supported. They know they are trusted and empowered to act. They feel an appropriate level of stretch and challenge in their work. It's important for people that's following you to feel like they're being challenged and their skills are being utilized. They feel encouraged, involved, supported, and developed. Now, the best way, before you turn to anything else, the best way to take this and make it practical, how many of you got people under you? You got people under you. Wave at me. You got people under you. The best way to make this practical is take this list of questions and ask the people under you these questions. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. You as a leader, ask the people, do you understand what your role is? Ask the people, do you feel a sense of worth? Ask the people under you, do you feel confident that you can ask questions and make suggestions? Ask the people under you, do you feel like you're empowered to act? Do you feel like this stretching you? The answers that the people give you is going to bless you as a leader. Because you need to know what the people under you think. And a lot of time, we just think everybody's happy because we happy. These questions right here will open up an avenue of dialogue that will really help you as a leader, because you need to know what the people under you think. This list is going to bless you. I promise you. You're going to be absolutely amazed at what the people tell you. In some cases, you may be shocked. But that's good. That's good, because now you have a sense of awareness of what the people under you think. You shouldn't be walking along thinking you're doing a great job and the people under you tribulating. They're struggling with your leadership. And it's all right to ask these kind of questions, because you want to grow. See, you want to grow. It's all right. It's all right. And don't fix it like they got to answer, oh, yeah, you're just doing a wonderful job. No, listen, here, you want to create a climate where people can be transparent and pull your little self together, pull your belt in, and your little feelings in, because you want to create that climate, because if people have that kind of climate, I promise you, they'll serve you, they'll work for you, they'll be motivated. Amen. But you can't be walking around in a cloud thinking you're doing a great job and everybody under you all messed up about your leadership. Okay. Another thing that I want to say before we go any further, and I may stay a little long on this part, and then I'll zip through some of the other stuff, because I think some of this is good. Great leaders connect with people through relationship, because it is relationship that creates trust in the leader. Now that statement, that's a big statement. So I say it again. Great leaders connect. Come on, say connect.
Connect
with people through what?
Relationship,
because it is relationship that creates trust in the leader. Now, you need to have people trust you if you're going to lead them. The key to people trusting you is relationship, which means you have to do more than just hand people a task list. You got to get to know the people under you. You got to connect with these people. You got to find out something about them. Not just what they're doing. You got to find out something about them. Their personal life. And I'm not talking about getting in their personal business, but I'm talking about you have to connect in such a way where people don't feel like they're just coming doing a task. You got them doing this and you don't care about them. So one of the biggest thing you can do as a leader is connect to people. You got to connect to people. You got to connect to people. Some leaders don't ever talk to their folk. They don't ever say anything to them. They just give them a task list. They come in, do their task, and people not going to be motivated like that. They're just not going to be motivated like that if you don't connect with them. That's important. Now, here's a big statement right here. This is a take-home statement. If you don't get nothing else out of what I say today, if you get this, internalize this, it'll make all the difference in your life. The true measure of the quality of your leadership, is the well-being, growth, and development of those you lead. The well-being, growth, and development of those you lead. Now, as a leader, you can be the kind of person who gets things done, gets projects done, tasks done, make things happen, and you got a bunch of bodies lying along the way. The true measure of your leadership is not just that you get things done. The true measure of your leadership is going to be, are the people under you growing? Are the people under you developing? Are they expanding? Are they reaching their potential? That's how you measure your leadership. Don't measure it by you got this done. The people, look at your people under you. Notice the people under you. Are they happy? Are they sad? Are they depressed? Are they enthusiastic? Because the key to your leadership is those people, not the task. If you get the people in the right position, you'll get the task done. And you'll get it done at a high level. But a lot of leaders focus on the task and neglect the people. That's why after every sermon, I stand up and shake the people's hand. See, I did the task. I taught the lesson. That was the task. But I'm standing here shaking people's hand because I need to connect to the people. You understand that? It's not just get the job done. That would be worth everything right there. I promise you, if you get that, that would be worth your coming here today. Look at the tip. Look at the tip. Look at the tip. You're going to put 10 more minutes up there. Go on, put 10 more minutes up there. we just tweaked the other stuff. I ain't been teaching it. I ain't been here for 3 weeks, so I got to talk. Okay. As a leader, you may need to pull yourself back. You see the tip? From interfering with the delivery and instead focus on getting the very most from those responsible and experienced at delivering. The next time you're about to get involved in the details, make a conscious effort to step back and focus on the big picture. What this tip is about, is about role clarity. It's about what? But role clarity has two sides to it. The upside is, what is my role as a leader in this thing? The other side is, what is the follower's role? Well, when you look at this, the follower's role is the delivery. The follower's role is the details. The leader's role is to get the most out of the folk over the delivery. The leader's role is the big picture. If you don't know your role, you'll end up doing things that the follower should be doing. And once you start doing things that the follower should be doing, you disengage the follower. So you got people under you like this with their hands folded, and you doing stuff that they should be doing. So they are disengaged, and that's why a lot of times we feel like we're going to burn out. Burnout for a leader is always related to a confused role clarity. If you about to burn out, if you feel overwhelmed, it's because you're not leading. You're doing. The role of the leader, leading versus managing. There's a big difference between leading and managing. It's possible to be a manager of a function, a process, example, account manager, without having to lead people. If you do have people reporting to you, there are two key functions to your role. Those two functions are managing and leading. In many ways, these two functions need to be interrelated. Look at the management functions. Managing people is managing a set of processes, activities that will include directing and prioritizing work and delegating responsibilities. B, ensuring people have the necessary skills to do their work effectively. C, management functions, setting goals and standards and monitoring performance, especially appraisers. Number D, managing individual attendance, sickness, holidays, payroll, etc. Look at the note. See, you can read this. I got some little notes to add to it. You can read this. That's why I'm not spending a whole lot of time. You want to put my notes down. See, you want to put my notes down. Here's the note here. It is possible to form these activities as management activities without performing as a leader. If we separate managing people from leading people, then the outcome is a cold and price-oriented method that does not maximize the potential of people. And if we just manage situations, we don't relate to people. See, the management is the people side. What did I just say? I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to say that. Because I heard myself at the end say that. I didn't mean to say that. The management is the process side. The leadership is the people side. And the reason sometimes we seem cold as leaders is because we are majoring on the process. We are majoring on the task and the process. And we are minoring on the people. And that's why sometimes people think we're cold and we don't care. Now, leading people involves developing people while delivering good results, blending the two. Being an effective leader is about applying leadership activities to many of the managerial functions. For example, watch this. Delegating work can be considered an opportunity to empower and grow an individual. Now, here's some of my notes that's not in yours right there. Here's some of my notes to this one. Listen at this. And I said this, but I'm going to reiterate it. Jesus would say, verily, verily, I say unto you. And then sometimes he would say, again, I say unto you. So I'm being very repetitious. But listen at this. Sometimes leaders or prospective leaders struggle with commitment because of workload and burnout. Okay, here's what I'm saying. Sometimes leaders say, prospective leaders say, because they listen to some of y'all talk, people who would help us lead, they listen to y'all talk. Oh, it's just, they got so much work down there for us. Honey, I can't do all that. Oh, my goodness, I can't. These folk think I'm full-time. They work me just like. So prospective folk hear you talk about the workload. Honey, I'm about to burn out. These folk about to burn me out. I think I'm going to take me a leave of absence. Well, it's because you're not leading. You doing, you working, rather than delegating, releasing stuff, finding folk, getting folk to do stuff, you doing it. That's why you're so tired. Leaders don't do that. Leaders look for folk. You got folk under you can do a lot of stuff, but we do stuff that folks should be doing, others should be doing. That's why we're burning out. Leaders delegate. Great leaders delegate. They delegate. They find people who are good at stuff. Huh, you handle that. Huh, you do that. That's what you should be doing. Here's another thing. Sometimes leaders or prospective leaders struggle with intimidation concerning the responsibilities and complexities of leadership, because they think they have to know and do everything. You want me to say that one again? Sometimes leaders or prospective leaders struggle with intimidation. Come on, say intimidation. Concerning responsibilities and the complexities of leadership. Now, here's what I mean by that. I know some of you get intimidated by stuff that we're asking you to do. I know it. And I know some of you say, well, honey, I have no degree. I don't know all that stuff they talk about down at the church. It's getting where you just got to have a master's to work down at that church. And so sometimes we get intimidated. But now leading can become complex. Once an organization or church or whatever grows and you got thousands of people, there are some complexities that goes along with it. So we have to grow. And you have the capacity to grow. You have the capacity to grow. You have the capacity to grow. But here's the weakness I'm shooting for. The reason why we get intimidated is because we think to lead, we have to know everything and do everything. No, no, no. You got some folk, they do it on their job. You don't have to give it to them just because they did on their job. You're the leader. You just got to be secure enough to find the folk who understand it. You don't have to be strong administratively to lead. Find you a strong administrator. Amen. Find you somebody under you that can handle that part of it. Maybe you're not good at that part of it, but as a leader, find somebody that can do that part of you. We get intimidated because we think there's so much going on in this church. I don't know anything about it. I don't know how to do it. Some of it I don't even understand it. Sarah Nita laughing now because she's trying to groom me. She's trying to grow me up. I got my iPad now. You know, I got my iPad and, you know, I can take notes with my iPad and all that. But a lot of times they be doing all that stuff. I don't know what they be talking about. I don't have a clue what they talk. But get people under you that know it. See, you don't have to know everything and do everything. We get intimidated because we think we got to know everything and do everything to be a leader. Does that make sense to anybody? Now, look at this B and C, and I'll finish this part. B and C, I'll finish this part. See on page 3? Development from a leadership perspective means helping an individual to recognize their own development needs, giving them confidence to perform their role with excellence, and dedicating time to help guide them toward achieving their career aspirations. When you lead people, you're concerned about their development. Leaders want folk to be developed. One of my assignments is my son this year. My assignment is to develop him so that he can function at a high level. The people who report to me, my job is to develop them so that they can function at a high level. Your assignment as a leader is to help people under you grow. That's what it boils down to, grow. I talk about Ernest all the time. I won't tell everything. But I think he's an amazing worship leader. But great leadership is not just you being amazing. It's when other folk become amazing because of your influence. See, when Frank said, you stay around here long enough, you're going to end up being an assistant, that's a compliment. See, that is a compliment. When your area can run without you, you're doing a good job. You're doing a great job. If it falls apart when you're not there, then you're not leading. You're just managing. See, from a leadership perspective, goal setting is not done in a boss-centered manner, but it is a joint activity where the individual is involved and empowered to play an active role in determining what needs to be achieved. I never sit down and set up a bunch of goals and hand them to the people that report to me. I never do that. I really, I don't even spend a whole lot of time doing that. The people who report to me, I expect them to bring me goals. And then we sit down together and work through that. Then I can add to what they brought if I see something else, but it should be a collaborative effort. As a leader, you should never just set a bunch of goals and hand it to folk. Leaders don't operate like that. Goal setting should be a collaborative effort where the people who follow when you have some input, and if they have some input, then they already have ownership of it once you start out the gate. because they've been involved with it. So they're going to have a high motivation level because they were a part of putting it together. Does that make sense, anybody? I think that's good. Did y'all get at least one thing? Did y'all get just one thing? Okay. We're going another direction. We're going another direction next time.